This is from
Item number 5, a resolution by Supervisor Wyshon authorizing and directing the rehiring of former displaced county housekeepers to service the courthouse facility. This item was also referred to the Committee on Transportation, Public Works, and Transit. The item was received after that committee's deadline, therefore, that committee did not consider this item.
Supervisor Wyshon, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, colleagues. What you have before you is a very simple resolution. It is, I guess, a little bit of back to the future, kind of turning back the clock here. We used to have Milwaukee County employees cleaning the courthouse and the courthouse complex. A few years ago, that was transferred to a private company. Now, we've had quite a bit of issues on that, not only the cleanliness and the effectiveness of that, but then on the whole procurement process. Well, I think it's time for that experiment to end, and what we really need to do is move forward and hire county employees to do that job. The second point that I'd like to make is that the treatment of former county employees has been less than honorable and I think less than ethical in our treatment of them and how they've applied for other county employment. And that's why you see in here that we would address that those former housekeeping, those facility personnel would at least, if they would like to come back, would be able to apply for those jobs and have a crack at it. And if not, and if they've moved on with their lives, that then we would still fill those positions with new Milwaukee County employees. So I appreciate the time today on that, and I hope you can support this this effort. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thank you. I had two questions. The staffing, the number of 20, is that is that what our former staffing level was, or is that the number that are available that weren't placed, or is that the number that our current staffing? Can you help me understand sort of how this compares to what we had or what we have now?
The number comes from thank you, Mr. Chairman, Supervisor. The number comes from staff consulting with facilities on what it takes to clean the facility. But it also does match up well with the number of displaced workers that are available.
Okay. And then is there any discussion with, I'm sorry, who maybe for Mr. Cady, on the fiscal note, am I correct in assuming that much of this or a significant portion of this overlaps with the living wage ordinance in that they both count the, basically the fiscal note assumes the difference between current wages and proposed wage, but with if a living wage floor is placed in the middle there somewhere, a substantial portion of this is sort of already baked into the living wage ordinance fiscal note.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, there was no adjustment made to the cost that's being paid to MidAmerican right now for what their cost might be if there was a living wage ordinance that was applied to their contract.
I'm sorry. I'm having trouble hearing.
There was no adjustment made to what the county is currently providing a private contractor to compare with the wage rate. It's still based on the amount that's being paid for the courthouse right now. Maybe did I explain that? So are you trying to drive at whether the private contractors' wages would need to go up, and therefore it would narrow the gap between
right.
the cost of the county workers and the private contractor? No adjustment was made for the living wage.
Okay. So some of this is the same. Some of this is the same money that will be. that it's figured into the living wage fiscal note, and that the assumption there was that contractors would have to move their employees up and that there would be future increased costs on those contracts. So those numbers were in the comptroller's fiscal note. I can sort of offset that here, that if both things move forward, all the costs in both fiscal notes don't accrue because some of those costs are already in the other one, right?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to defer to Mr. Mansky or Ms. Paul on how the fiscal note was calculated for the living wage ordinance, because that's I wasn't
involved. That sounds reasonable. Mr. Mansky? The question is, how was the fiscal note numbers arrived at?
In regards to, we did one section which was regard to the janitorial contract, and that contract, the average wage rate that we found, I think, of the workers was about $9.10 an hour, and the impacted number of employees was approximately 110 employees. So using that average, you would have to bring them up to the proposal of the 1133 based upon that amount. So we would have to get back with you on that, but the assumption was based upon an average wage rate right now for that group of about $9.10 an hour. And so we had a cost to bring them up to a living wage, which was $12.45 an hour, right, of $923,000. So we'd have to do the math to get you back down to what the cost of that would be.
Right, but so I can, both fiscal note, if both items proceed, both fiscal notes, I wouldn't add both fiscal notes together. There would be a different fiscal note because the difference between the floor under living wage and what's proposed here is smaller than the difference between the current rate of pay.
Yeah, I believe what Mr. Cady did when he prepared his fiscal note was based upon the rates that we are currently paying for the service workers. And so I am assuming it'd be around the 910, but we'd have to take a look at that. But that's what we were kind of told for that. But yeah, you'd have to amend the fiscal note to bring it up and say if the living wage is passed, then it'd be this. If the living wage is not passed, then it'd be a difference of this.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Anyone else have questions of Mr. Mansky? Mr. Fudge?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors. Just a technical note, this resolution doesn't actually create any positions that any employees could actually be slotted into. Just wanted to bring that to your attention.
Thank you very much.
So what does that mean? So
there's no position for DOS facilities manager to hire anybody into because this resolution doesn't create it.
So as a result, the department would bring that as a subsequent item, or your recommendation is that if we want to effectuate the item, we should amend it to include position creation authority? What does that statement tell me?
I would suggest that if you want someone to be hired into these positions, they would have to be created. They don't presently exist.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Fudge. Today is Thursday. We have a board meeting on Thursday. Mr. Tyler? You can come up. You can come up. I have a card from you. Supervisor Weishaupt.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Colleagues, if there is a deficiency in the resolution, I apologize, but the fact is that I've tried to work with staff for months on this, and I do feel a little, you know, blindsided and sandbagged on this. You sit down with staff, you tell them what you need and what you're trying to accomplish, this create positions, this or that. If there is a deficiency, I'll be glad to correct that by board day and have the inappropriate amendment made. But the point being that now if you follow through with the living wage, the differential between hiring a private contractor or a county employee has been reduced. And I think it would be much more beneficial to this community and to the function of the courthouse if, for multiple reasons, if we had Milwaukee County employees fulfilling that role. So, thank you.
I take into consideration, strongly take into consideration what Mr. Fudge said with respect to these positions are not created. We will have a Black History program on the 5th. However, if we have to have a special meeting, if we have to have a special meeting on the 5th, then that could be scheduled, and hopefully board members would be available. I mean, committee members, I should say, would be available for such to happen. So, Supervisor Wyshon, if you would work on, or if you could work on getting that proper resolution to be put before us, that is something that at least I welcome. I don't know what everybody else's position, everybody else's sentiment is. Supervisor Roman West.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to thank Supervisor Wyshon for putting forward this resolution. I think what's really sad is the question hasn't been answered for us as to what exactly happens with these employees. We were, as a board, made promises that these individuals were going to be taken care of, that they were going to be allowed to apply for open positions. At the time, Aramark was being hired out at BHD. There were opportunities there. There were opportunities, supposedly, allegedly, for these individuals to be moved into a CNA training class out at BHD. And I know for a fact from yesterday's meeting that we are sorely understaffed at BHD right now. And so I guess the question, it begs the question as to what exactly happened with these employees. It's pitiful that they are still, 3 years later, trying to find employment or trying to get their jobs back. What's even more, I think, shameful is that since then, we've hired security guards back that, again, the board put those security positions in the budget. Then County Executive Walker decided that he was going to declare an emergency, take them out of the budget. A court ruling said, hey, you shouldn't have done that. Those individuals got their jobs back. And then in addition, we've hired more courthouse security. And again, these individuals have been overlooked when they know probably this courthouse better than most of us. And so I really, I applaud the initiative by Supervisor Wyshon, but I really don't understand, Mr. Chairman, how we got here. And so at this point, not having the positions being created, I don't know if the most appropriate motion is to lay this item over to the call of the chair so that Supervisor Wyshon can get that fixed and we can hold a special meeting and get this on the agenda, or whether a more appropriate motion is to move approval and allow Supervisor Wyshon to then amend this resolution. But I am in support of the spirit of this resolution.
Mr. Cady, do you have a recommendation? Because, again, as I said, I am amenable to having a special meeting on the morning of the 5th before our board day, before our board deliberations to move forward. I am
I feel that way about it. Mr. Cady.
Mr. Chairman, it's the pleasure of the committee which way you'd like to move forward. If you'd like to act on the resolution today, an amendment, it's basically another be it further resolved, would add the positions. And you could do that on board day. You wouldn't necessarily have to do that as a committee. If it would give you more comfort to review it again as a committee, certainly you could call a special meeting if that's your desire.
Is everyone going to understand that? Supervisor?
Thank you, Mr. Cady.
Supervisor Schmidt, then Supervisor Jersey.
My question would be, I know Mr. Tyler's going to, or facilities are going to comment on how this all works. So we have a contract with Mid-America?
It's expired. Agreement. It's a month-to-month. It has expired, has it not? Has the contract expired?
It's month. Mr. Chair, Supervisors, it's on a month-to-month basis.
We're on a month-to-month basis. Supervisor.
Okay. And then the employees at Mid-American would have a chance to stay as well, or would they automatically be replaced by and I did vote those years ago. We all did because I didn't want our people to be ping-pongs. We did vote. I voted that we give the jobs back to our former janitors, as a matter of fact. Wow, got an applause. But the situation now is as research done, or it's been a while. Do we have an opportunity? Are these people who, you know, did? We gave an opportunity, I thought, am I wrong in that, for people, their ability to come back and all couldn't be hired a chance to Cumberland County employment. And now to just presume all 20 are still available and could come back, is that, that's a possibility?
Yes.
All 20 are still not employed? That's my question. Okay. Answer my question. Thank you.
Supervisor Jersey. Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Jersey.
Yeah, you know, I want to be very careful. I respect the employees, and I know they spend a lot of time coming back and forth to meetings, and I really would hope no one's being misled. I mean, I'd like to hear from legal counsel as to, I mean, we can perhaps create positions in a budget, but you can't direct, I mean, even before Act 14, you can't direct administratively who gets hired. So, you know, I would like to suggest that we hear from legal counsel as to whether this is truly a policy decision on creating positions, or are we stepping on the administrative role if we're directing who gets hired? And that's a concern. And I wouldn't want people to be used as pawns, you know, back and forth on this thing.
I appreciate that. I don't want anyone to be used as pawns either. There are people who are hired there, and we've heard two or three times through two or three vehicles how these people got messed over for those who have been
incumbent. Mr. Chair, I've supported many of those votes. I still, you know, I wasn't at employee interviews. I don't know if people actually got offers to mm-hmm. be, you know, CNAs and so on. I don't even want to go there. It's not, quite frankly, it's not my job.
Yes.
And I think I'm stepping on administrative toes if I start doing that. But, you know, we may well be looking like we're doing something for folks. In reality, we may actually be doing something that's not going to help them and get ourselves into some very hot water here and subject to tremendous criticism if we start doing something that is beyond our abilities to do.
I appreciate that.
Is it policy?
Mr. Barber?
Can I add some to this question?
Mr. Bargren is sitting down, and Supervisor Jersey, ask your question. Supervisor Stanford, if anyone, a committee member, has a question, please ask.
Well,
Supervisor Jersey.
Did you understand the question? Otherwise, I can rephrase it.
No, sure. I was here. Chairman, Supervisors, I think there are some concerns about directing specific individuals to be hired, but my understanding is that there are also these would be civil service replacement jobs now, or civil service hirings now, and there's a process there that the county has adopted, of course, for decades, and it may not be able to accommodate and probably wouldn't be able to accommodate specific individuals who are proposed for open jobs. Actually, Mr. Session is here, and he and I talked very briefly, and I think he was going to try to address some of the civil service issues, if that's of interest to the committee.
Mr. Bargan, any other questions of Mr. Bargan before we go to Mr. Session? Supervisor Stanford.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm trying to figure out what will actually happen. If we adopt this resolution and administration is directed to hire these employees, what will happen with the current contract, and how will these employees come back to work at the courthouse?
Well, if it all went through, as you say, the current contract would end at the end of the next month, say, Supervisor and Chairman, and then if there were positions created, they would have to be filled through a hiring process so that people could staff those jobs.
But I'm sure there's more than 20 jobs available within the contract, the current contract, right?
That I don't know. I think the intent of the resolution is just for the courthouse, is that right?
And right.
So just the courthouse? Okay. And there's 20 positions?
Yes.
20 people that work at the courthouse? That's all?
Approximately.
Okay. All right. Gotcha.
That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Session? With respect to the process, Mr. Session, Supervisor Wyshon has indicated that this resolution has been prepared and apparently omissions have occurred. Now civil service process has been brought up, and we want to make sure that whatever is done properly, appropriately. And I go along with Supervisor Wyshon's reservation that some of this could have been brought up before now, and it has been, but if you've got something to offer with relate to the process and creating these jobs and
sure.
The process for following civil service procedures and how that would work.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors. As Mr. Fudge did point out, we do have to have positions created into which we hire people. That's one obstacle that we have to get past here. But I think to Supervisor Jurcik's point, our bigger concern is on the civil service front. I serve as the Deputy Director of Human Resources, but I also serve as the Secretary to the Civil Service Commission. And the commission takes its role very seriously in administering the civil service system and the civil service rules as they've been created by the Civil Service Commission. Those rules were created in accordance with state statutes that created the civil service system. Inherent in that system is the idea of merit and fitness are what matters when we make a hire. To have a direction that we hire specific individuals runs very afoul of the civil service system. Now, we do have jobs in the county that are unclassified, that are not part of civil service, and those jobs we are allowed to basically appoint whoever we want into those positions. But the positions that we're talking about here would be in the classified service, would be under civil service protection, and we would have to go through our normal hiring process where it's a free and open competition for the job.
Supervisors Lipstone and Bowling.
So that would not, that had this been done within the, whatever that time frame is of the layoff, that would not have been a factor, but it's because we're beyond the recall or beyond.
Well,
is that what's triggering this? I mean, just we've waited too long.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, the layoff recall is a different topic. The layoff was handled in accordance with the labor agreement, so the people who were laid off were afforded the opportunity to be placed in. Well, they could have been recalled to the position if it continued to exist. The position was abolished, and we never recreated Facility Worker 1. They were afforded the opportunity to be placed in non-comparable positions, of which there were only two positions countywide that would have applied, and those were a food service worker and, I think, a park worker position. So, and those paid significantly less. They weren't required to take those jobs, and most of them did not. Now, when they were laid off, part of the deal with the ensuing vendor was that they would have, the vendor was supposed to make arrangements with the people who were laid off in order to, you know, give them an opportunity to continue working and working in the courthouse. And a lot of them chose not to take that route either because the wages were so depressed. So, I mean, there wasn't anything comparable for what they were doing. Now, when they were laid off in 2009, they had recall rights for 3 years that expired at the end of 2012. So, essentially, they have been outside of our system entirely as, if you will, people on the street for the last year plus with no recall rights, no rights as an employee, no civil service rights, none of that.
So had we done this in December of 12, this would not be an issue?
If we recreated Facility Worker 1 positions in December of 12, they would have been recalled to those positions.
Mr. Chair.
Supervisor Coleman.
I feel for Supervisor Wyshon if you drafted a resolution and didn't get it quite right and didn't get proper help from staff, if you felt that that's what happened. I don't know if that's what happened. But I don't know that I'm prepared to vote on this, and I think we should move this over, lay this over to the call of the chair. I mean, we can spend 3 hours hashing civil service rules and things like that, but it's probably best if we have some discussions privately among ourselves and with staff, and if this is going to happen, get it ironed out rather than trying to do it here. So I don't think there was a motion. I think Supervisor Roman was asked if we could do that. My motion would be to lay this over at the call of the chair.
Yeah, I lost the floor.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I'm used to it.
It's
already.
Right under you.
Okay. I'm sorry. Supervisor Roman West, I'm sorry if I...
I'm standing up for
that's
my
all right.
Female
thank
colleague.
Thank you. I thought I was going to get my question answered and then we would
aggressive.
Move on, but yeah.
I'll teach you some aggression.
Supervisor Roman West?
I don't know if anybody would appreciate that.
Supervisor Roman West?
I'm sorry. No. That's fine. I had asked what the appropriate motion would be, and then I thought that you'd come back to me, and I'd have a good answer. But to be honest, I don't. So, if Supervisor Coleman wants to put forward something, that's fine.
Deliberation as to how we're going to proceed, what needed to happen, and since it was brought up that the positions were not created, so.
Okay.
So I apologize.
That's fine.
Thank you.
I would probably move to lay it over also to the call of the chair so that we could get it. Although I'm prepared. I would be more than willing to move approval and let Supervisor Wyshon have the opportunity to bring something more complete forward. But either way, that can happen. So that's my understanding.
Okay. Well, as I said earlier, my inclination for this cycle is to look toward having a special meeting on the morning of board day. Some conversations, some clarification could be provided by then. We've heard from Mr. Session, and we've heard from Mr. Bartley. We've also heard from Mr. Fudge. So Supervisor Wyshon has some direction with respect to going forward.
Supervisor Cullen has moved item 5. I open the call to any discussion on that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate it. One other request might be if an amendment or a new resolution is written to include direction to process a fund transfer from the contingency fund for the $379,000. That could be included in the resolution as well. Otherwise, perhaps in the next cycle, if this were to be adopted, we could bring that fund transfer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As far as the fund transfer, I think that has yet to be determined the amount because of the impact of how the living wage piece will affect it. Because as it was stated, the fiscal note that determined the $339,000 was based on our current wage rates of $9 for the private vendor
versus if you were to raise that up to the $11.33, which would eliminate a large portion of that 300 and some thousand.
Mr. Chairman, while it's true that the impact may change based on the delta from the contract, the facilities management budget does not have the funds either for the increased cost of the contract due to living wage or for these employees. So the impact on facilities management would be unchanged from this figure.
And Mr. Chairman, I don't oppose a fund transfer. I just say I cannot tell you the amount of that fund transfer until the county board acts on at our February 6th meeting. And then we'll be able to determine that fiscal impact.
Well, we will proceed. We may proceed forward with respect to mm-hmm. what the implications and consequences of appropriate actions will take us to where we need to Supervisor House.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, a question for Mr. Fudge is, of course, with us. Do we know where the, I don't have the tip of my mind, how much is in the contingency fund at this time, and is it projected to remain stable for the, you know, assuming nothing changes? I mean, we can always tap it when we need, but I just want to have that on the table.
Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, one second while I look at the packet. In the contingency fund at present for 2014, there's approximately $7,658,000. Of that, much of that is set aside for special purposes. As you remember from the budget discussions, I think $350,000 or so that will probably be transferred to either the sheriff or the district attorney for the absconder unit at the House of Correction. There's $1.3 million for the water utility, $900,000 for the COG Center, $376,000 for child support. So it's about, I want to say, $4.8 to $5 million in the actual unallocated contingency fund. And then there are two fund transfers in this cycle that would take a total of about $141,000 from the contingency fund. So you'd be left with, $4.5 million approximately, and I can run through those figures maybe during the lunch break and provide them when we get back.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I just wanted to have just a general sense of where we were, and of course this is the way I asked for it. Thank you, Mr. Fudge, for answering it as I asked it. I really respect that, actually. This is assuming we don't have any great disasters at the courthouse that may need coverage. Purely for speculation, but thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Anyone else on this particular item? Supervisor Schmidt and Director Tyler, and then we'll vote on the motion by Supervisor Cole.
Well, I guess unless I've been missing something, I mean, we got so many members going back, I'm not quite sure when we get to it on the fund transfers, but crisis, we had a big fire. We got $3 or $4 million.
That's
talking about contingency, well, just a little drop in the bucket there. Yeah, no. So I think that has to be factored into if we would pass that, but that's part of the equation too, isn't that? Mr. Fudge, is that part of the equation too?
I'm sorry, Mr. Sabari, could you repeat the question? I was looking at the budget for the
in our packet, and we've gone back and forth how much mine is, $3 or $4 million, or is it both? Is it $7 million? We got some money coming in, so we're going to flesh that out when we get to number 31 or whatever it is, or the fund transfers. So aren't we asking, isn't the administration asking the county board for a fund transfer of $3 million, or am I incorrect in that?
Thank you, Supervisor. I apologize for not hearing the question originally. The fund transfer related to the fire is coming from the 2013 contingency fund. Originally, when we had met for agenda setting, the request was for $4 million out of that. Subsequently, we have received a check from the insurance company, and so now the request is down to $500,000. So that is a different year, so that this would not impact that.
Thank you. Director Tyler.
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, thank you very much. I just want to make sure that we also express a little bit of a concern as it relates to the fiscal note. I think directionally it's correct, but I know that the feedback that I got from Mr. Wozzeck, who heads up facilities right now, is that there was not one position that was included in that fiscal note, a supervisory position, so we'd like to have that added so the fiscal impact is fully recognized. And then I think that perhaps Supervisor Wyshon might be a little bit confused in terms of the support that we've been providing him. We have not have been asked for support, at least my staff has not, and I don't believe, I can't speak for HR, but they're willing to speak up. But I know that my staff, who runs housekeeping, has not delayed anything. We just haven't been communicated with. So I just want to clarify that.
So there's a lot of communication to be done. Thank you very much. We have a motion to lay over to the call of the chair for item number 5. Any further discussion? Madam Clerk, please call the call.
Supervisors Haas?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Rommel West?
Aye.
Jurczyk?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Bowen?
Aye.
Stamper?
Aye.
Cullen?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
9 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to lay item number 5 over to the call of the chair prevails.
Thank you. Look forward to seeing you in February.
Thank you. See you then.
Mr. Chair, can we take a break? What's the plan?
You would like to break to a win.
67
half an hour.
Okay. We will be in recess until 1 o'clock.